This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Pastor Sandy is currently teaching through the book of Deuteronomy. Here's Pastor Sandy in Deuteronomy chapters 12 through 16 with today's study.
The only suffering that can improve a person's lot in life or the afterlife is the suffering of Jesus Christ, not your suffering. Penance is of no value whatsoever. What is of value is repentance. And this is what we need to differentiate between penance and repentance. Penance believes that my suffering can atone for my sin, whereas repentance turns from my sin and puts its trust in Jesus Christ. The Bible calls us to repent, not do penance. Verses 3 through 21 once again rehearse the dietary laws of Israel. How to keep kosher, which means proper. And the kosher laws differentiated between clean and unclean animals, between edible and unedible animals, which reminds me of the Jewish rabbi and the Catholic priest. They were attending this picnic together when a platter of baked ham passed right in front of the rabbi. Well, he politely declined. The priest saw it, and that's when he jumped in and he asked, "Come on, what are you doing declining that delicious ham? When are you going to get with it, man? When are you going to forget those silly Jewish rules and eat ham like the rest of us?" And that's when the rabbi replied, "I will at your wedding." Silly rules. Well, four kids later, I obviously don't believe that pastors need to be celibate. And if you ate lunch with me, you would realize that I have no aversion to ham and cheese sandwiches. Today, with modern methods of food preparation and with sanitary conditions, the health benefits of some of these kosher laws have now been minimized. But in Moses' day, these laws were crucial. They protected the Israelites medically and nutritionally. As a matter of fact, in the Middle Ages, when the bubonic plague swept through Europe, the Jews were the only people who were unaffected. This is why the Gentiles accused them of poisoning their rivers and their streams. They couldn't figure it out. Why were the Jews not being affected by the plague? It was because their diet and their hygiene, these kosher laws, provided an immunization for them. Today, Israel has one of the longest average lifespans of any nation on the planet. And I believe it's partly because of their kosher laws. God was and still is an excellent dietitian. Well, Moses in these verses distinguishes between clean and unclean, between edible and inedible. Verse 3 gives us the overarching principle. You shall not eat any detestable thing. No detestable thing. And verse 4 begins to list what is not detestable. These are the animals which you may eat: the ox, the sheep, the goat, the deer. You need to hear this, Lo. It says here in verse 4 that you may eat the deer. Venison. I got to tell you, 2 weeks ago when Kathy and I went out to do the marriage conference for Calvary Chapel Costa Mesa, we went to church on Sunday morning to hear Pastor Chuck. And when it was over, I went back into his office and he and I were talking, and I confirmed that he's going to come and speak at our pastor's conference in a few months. And as I was about to leave, Chuck kind of leans back in his chair and he kind of kicks his head back and he says, "Sandy, your boy shot that meat that we like to eat down there at that pastor's conference." And so, Lo, Pastor Chuck is expecting that venison this year at the pastor's conference. The pressure is on. We need some fresh venison. But Lo, you got ways, man. I know. I know you got ways. Moses continues with the edible animals, the gazelle, the roe deer, the wild goat, the mountain goat, the antelope, and the mountain sheep. And you may eat every animal with cloven hooves, having the hoof split into two parts, and that chews the cud among the animals. Split hooves and cud chewers were fair game. They were edible. They were kosher. Nevertheless, of those that chew the cud or have cloven hooves, you shall not eat, such as these, the camel, the hare. If there's a hare in your food, don't eat it. And not only should you not eat camels, you shouldn't smoke them either. And the rock hyrax, for they chew the cud, but they do not have cloven hooves. They are unclean for you. Also, the swine is unclean for you because it has cloven hooves, yet does not chew the cud. You shall not eat their flesh nor touch their dead carcasses. And this is a huge reason that I am glad that I'm a Christian and that I'm not Jewish and that I've been delivered from the law, because I love bacon and ham and sausage and pork barbecue. I am a pig-eating Gentile who's been saved by grace. Praise the Lord. Verse 9 is the seafood menu. These you may eat of all that are in the waters. You may eat all that have fins and scales, and whatever does not have fins and scales, you shall not eat. It is unclean for you. Catfish were unclean. They had fins, but they don't have scales. Shrimp, clams, lobsters were all unclean since they had no fins. So when you sit down at the shrimp lover's feast at Red Lobster, say a prayer and thank the Lord Jesus that you're saved by grace and free from the law, and chow down, man, for Jesus' sake. Verse 11 deals with the poultry. All clean birds, and we have some pictures for some of this, so you might want to watch the screen. All clean birds you may eat, but these you shall not eat, the eagle, the vulture, the buzzard, the red kite. Isn't that a beautiful bird? I've got another picture of a red kite. Yeah, you saw that coming. The falcon. And the kite after their kinds. Every raven after its kind. The ostrich, the short-eared owl, the seagull, and the hawk. And there's my favorite hawk, Doc Rivers. You remember Doc Rivers? After their kinds. The little owl, the screech owl, the white owl, the jackdaw, the carrion vulture, the fisher owl, the stork, the heron after its kind, the hoopoe, and the bat. Don't eat bats. The wood gets in your teeth. Verse 19, also every creeping thing that flies is unclean for you. They shall not be eaten. Flying insects were inedible, non-edible. Verse 20, you may eat all clean birds, but apparently you shouldn't eat dirty birds. Moses already told you not to eat the falcons back in verse 13, the dirty birds. You get it? Yeah, get it? You shall not eat anything that dies of itself. No roadkill. I know that'll disappoint some of you. Kosher law required that the meat be properly slaughtered and the blood be properly drained. So anything that died of its own, you weren't allowed to eat. You may give it to the alien who is within your gates. You know, give it to the stranger, that he may eat it, or you may sell it to a foreigner, for you are a people holy to the Lord your God. You shall not boil a young goat in its mother's milk, and this is why you'll never see a kosher Jew eating a cheeseburger. For more on verse 21, see the CD from Exodus chapter 23. We've already taught on that. Verses 22 through 29 rehearse the tithes the Hebrews were required to pay. You shall truly tithe. And by the way, the word tithe means 10%. You know that. You're to give 10% of all the increase of your grain that the field produces year by year. Notice you tithe your income or your increase, not your total assets. And you shall eat before the Lord your God in the place where he chooses to make his name abide, the tithe of your grain and your new wine and your oil, of the firstborn of your herds and your flocks, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. You see, they brought their tithe to the appointed place of worship, and there they ate a ceremonial meal. And then they would leave the rest of the tithe with the priest. But notice the purpose of tithing. Did you catch it here? The purpose of tithing, that you may learn to fear the Lord your God always. How do you learn to fear the Lord? How do you learn to honor God sincerely and to trust God honestly? By giving a regular 10% of your income to the Lord. That's how you learn. The discipline of tithing brings a sincerity to my devotion. It brings an honesty to my faith. But if I refuse to tithe, any claim to honor God, any boast that I trust God, will sound hollow. It'll be empty. You know, how can I say I trust the Lord if I can't trust Him to do more with 90% than I can do with 100%? How can I really say I trust the Lord if I can't give Him a tenth of my income? Fear of the Lord that doesn't cost you 10% of your income is not real respect. It reminds me of a bus driver who used to greet his passengers with the words, "Pay up or get off the bus." Well, this man became a Christian. He joined the church and they made him an usher. And his enthusiasm for the Lord was contagious. I mean, this guy was some kind of a guy. The pastor, though, had to temper his zeal when it came to collecting the offering, because when he passed the plate, he would say to the people, "Pay up or get off the bus." Hey, certainly you can be a Christian and not tithe. But according to this verse, you can't really learn to fear the Lord. You can't really prove your sincerity, the honesty of your faith, unless you tithe. Verses 24 through 26 explain long-distance tithing. Rather than take the 10% of your crop or your herd all the way to the tabernacle, you could sell it and you could transport the money. It was easier to carry the money. Verses 27 through 29 explain how that every third year, the tithe went to support the priests, the poor, the orphan, the widows. I mean, just every third year, them giving their tithe, they could take care of all of the needs. And let me be honest with you. If every person who came to our church tithed, we also would have no needs. I guarantee you. It would be more than enough to take care of all of the needs if just everyone, not more than 10%, but if everyone in our church gave 10%, our offerings would probably triple, maybe even quadruple, just by tithing. Chapter 15. Isn't that true, James? Yeah, thought so. At the end of every 7 years, you shall grant a release of debts. And this is the form of the release. Every creditor who has lent anything to his neighbor shall release it. He shall not require it of his neighbor or his brother, because it is called the Lord's release. Every 7 years, all debts were released. Now, they weren't canceled, but they were suspended for that year to allow the debtor to catch up on his debts. Great idea. Of a foreigner you may require it, but you shall give up your claim to what is owed by your brother, except when there may be no poor among you. In other words, if you follow these laws, a tithe for the poor, release debts every 7 years, it will eliminate the lower class so that there will be no permanently poor among you. Wow, if we just followed the Lord's commands, what benefit it would bring. For the Lord will greatly bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you to possess as an inheritance. Only if you carefully obey the voice of the Lord your God to observe with care all these commandments which I command you today. For the Lord your God will bless you just as He promised you. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. You shall reign over many nations, but they shall not reign over you. In other words, the Hebrews could lend to Gentiles, but they couldn't borrow from them. In the Middle Ages, the Pope actually prohibited Christians from lending money. And so the Jews were the ones who picked up the slack and became Europe's chief bankers and financiers. To this day, you'll find that all of the world's leading brokerage firms were founded by Jews, if not still owned by Jews. God said that his people would be lenders and not borrowers. Verse 7, if there is among you a poor man of your brethren within any of the gates in your land which the Lord your God is giving you, you shall not harden your heart nor shut your hand from your poor brother, but you shall open your hand wide to him and willingly lend him sufficient for his need, whatever he needs. It was the kindness, it was her generosity that would make Israel great. They used to say that about America. Beware lest there be a wicked thought in your heart saying, oh, the seventh year, the year of release is in hand. And your eye be evil against your poor brother, and you give him nothing, and he cry out to the Lord against you, and sin among you. You shall surely give it to him, and your heart should not be grieved when you give it to him. Because of this thing, the Lord your God has blessed you in all your works and in all to which you put your hand. You know, there may be times when we go to give to someone and God says, no, I don't want you to do that right now. But there should never be a time when it's not in our heart to give. When our love doesn't want to propel us to give. God may stop us, but we shouldn't be stopped by a hard heart. For the poor will never cease. And Jesus would say this later, for you have the poor with you always. Now, if they're generous, if they give, there will be no permanently poor. It would eliminate the lower class in Israel. But from time to time, people get in trouble. Things happen. There will always be poor with you. Verse 12. If your brother, a Hebrew man, is sold to you and serves you 6 years, then in the seventh year you shall let him go free from you. And when you send him away free from you, you shall not let him go away empty-handed. You shall supply him liberally from your flock, from your threshing floor, and from your wine press, from what the Lord has blessed you with, you shall give to him. Now, there was slavery in Israel, but there really wasn't slavery. Because in the end, everyone received their wages, didn't they? After the seventh year, when you let the slaves free, you made sure you sent them out with abundance, with a portion of the profit that they brought you. They were slaves, so they should be kind to the slaves. And it happens that he says to you, I will not go away from you because he loves you in your house. Since he prospers with you, then you should take an awl and thrust it through his ear to the door, pin his ear to the door, and he shall be your servant forever. Also to your maidservant you shall do likewise. And he or she would be called a love slave, or as the New Testament puts it, a bond slave. And you remember, this is what Paul referred to himself. A slave to Jesus, but not out of duty, out of love. He was a willing slave. Paul realized that as a slave of Jesus, he was better off in Jesus' house than he ever could be on his own. And so he was happy to be a slave to Jesus. He was happy that his ear had been pinned to the door. Has your ear been pinned to the door, to Jesus' door? Have you given him your all? Not because you have to, but because you want to, because you have concluded that life with Jesus is better than you could ever gain on your own. I'd rather be a deckhand on the ship that Jesus captains than to skipper my own fleet. Life goes better with Jesus. Well, verse 18 tells us, it shall not seem hard to you when you send him away free from you, for he has been worth a double hired servant in serving you 6 years. Then the Lord your God will bless you in all that you do. All the firstborn males that come from your herd and your flock, you shall sanctify to the Lord your God. You shall do no work with the firstborn of your herd, nor shear the firstborn of your flock. You and your household shall eat it before the Lord your God year by year in the place which the Lord chooses. But if there is any defect in it, if it is lame or blind or has any serious defect, you shall not sacrifice it to the Lord your God. In other words, you don't look at the flock and pick out the little sickly, diseased lamb that's not going to bring you any money at the market anyway and say, oh yeah, this is the one I'll give to God. God doesn't want your leftovers. He always desires from us our very best. Are you giving God your best tonight? Are you giving God your leftovers? But you can give the sickly lamb to your friends. He says, you may eat it within your gates, the unclean and the clean person, the Jew or the Gentile alike may eat it, as if it were a gazelle or a deer, which were clean animals. Only you shall not eat its blood. You shall pour it on the ground like water. You never ate the blood. Well, chapter 16 rehearses the three major Hebrew feasts. The spring feast of Passover and weeks or Pentecost and the fall feast of Tabernacles. Verse 1. Observe the month of Abib, which on our calendar would be late March, early April. And keep the Passover to the Lord your God, for in the month of Abib, the Lord your God brought you out of Egypt by night. Therefore, you shall sacrifice the Passover to the Lord your God from the flock and the herd in the place where the Lord chooses to put his name. The lamb was to be sacrificed at the tabernacle. For 7 days, you should abstain from any contact with leaven. You should eat unleavened bread for 6 days and have a holy celebration on the seventh day. Next comes the Feast of Weeks, verse 9. You shall count 7 weeks for yourselves. Begin to count the 7 weeks from the time you begin to put the sickle to the grain. Now, this feast was also called the Feast of Pentecost. The Greek word Pentecost means 50. And it fell on the day after the 7 weeks after Passover, or the 50th day after Passover. That's why it was also called Pentecost. Then you shall keep the Feast of Weeks to the Lord your God with the tribute of a freewill offering from your hand, which you shall give as the Lord your God blesses you. You shall rejoice before the Lord your God. And notice this, you and your son, look who's invited to the party. You and your son and your daughter, your male servant and your female servant, the Levite who is within your gates, the stranger and the fatherless and the widow who are among you, at the place where the Lord your God chooses to make his name abide. When we have a party here in the house of God, who should we invite? Oh, well, I only like hanging out with my friends. I only like hanging out with people who look like me or who are the same socioeconomic status as I am. That's who I like to hang out with, my kind of people. Who gets invited to the party? In the house of God, in the tabernacle, in the place that God has appointed. The poor come. The widow comes. The orphan comes. They even let the priest and the pastors in. The slaves celebrate and eat and make merry alongside the owners, the masters. Everyone's included in the party. And that's the way it should be whenever we have a celebration here at Calvary Chapel. Everyone's invited, man. And the day the poor person's not invited, the day the widow or the orphan's not invited, I'm not invited. I don't want to be here. Because this is a place for anybody and everybody to come. Everybody's invited to the house of God. And you shall remember that you were a slave in Egypt. And boy, don't ever forget that we were slaves to sin. Don't ever look down your nose at the alcoholic or the homeless man, or the drug dealer, or the sex offender. Don't ever look down your nose and think you're better than they are. Except but for the grace of God, there go I. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, for I delivered you. And you shall be careful to observe these statutes.
Deuteronomy is an interesting Old Testament book. It restates many of the laws the Israelites were to live by under their covenant with God. And it also shares a reminder of how important it was for them to cling to God in times of trouble. We too, when we face trials in this life, can hold tightly to the truth and love of our Creator. God will stand with us through it all, giving us the strength and comfort we need at every turn. If you'd like to know more about what it means to have this kind of connection with God, we'd love to tell you more. Give us a call at 770-736-2828. If you'd like to hear today's message again or listen to other messages from Pastor Sandy, visit our website at sandyadams.org. We have an archive of teachings on various topics, as well as book-by-book studies through the entire Bible. Scroll down to the bottom of the page to find the book you'd like to study. You can also listen to these messages on our mobile app. We know how busy this life can be. Between work, school, family, friends, errands, pets, the list can go on and on. And squeezing time in for in-depth Bible study can be difficult. With our mobile app, you'll have in-depth biblical teachings with you wherever you go, right at your fingertips. Find links to download at sandyadams.org or search for Sandy Adams in your app store. That's all the time we have for today. Join Pastor Sandy for more from the book of Deuteronomy right here on Sandy Adams Radio.